Our scripture lesson today is Luke chapter 4, first 13 verses. Luke chapter 4, coincidentally, comes right after 3, just in front of 5. Verses 1 through 13. For the sermon, his plan, his reason. Luke chapter 4, the first 13 verses. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God add his blessings to this passage. Let it dwell in our hearts as we seek him in prayer. Heavenly Father, open up these words. Make them sense unto us. May we be strengthened from them and go forth knowing you closer, ready to walk where you will send us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Being a Christian is hard. Being a Christian is hard. Being a Christian is hard. Amen. Somebody at some point's got to say how hard. Being a Christian is hard.
How hard?
I'm glad you asked me. Finally. Jermaine Washington, 26 years old, did something completely amazing. Cortland Milroy wrote this story in the Washington Post, quoted in Reader's Digest. He did something that amazes so many people. He became a kidney donor, donating a vital organ to a woman he described as just a friend. Washington met Michelle Stevens, 23, when they began working together at the Washington, D.C. Department of Employment Services. He used to have lunch with one another and chit-chat during lunch breaks. "He was somebody I could talk to," said Stevens. "One day I cried on his shoulder. I had been on the kidney donor waiting list for 11 months, and I had lost all hope." She told Washington how depressing it was to spend 3 days a week, 3 hours a day, on a kidney dialysis machine. She suffered chronic fatigue and blackouts and was plagued by joint pain. He had already seen that she had lost her smile. "I saw my friend dying before my eyes," Washington recalls. "So what was I supposed to do? Sit back and watch her die?" Stephen's mother was suffering from hypertension and wasn't eligible to donate a kidney. Her two brothers were reluctant. I understood, says Stevens. They loved me very much, but they were just too afraid. The operation at Washington Hospital Center in April in 1991 began with a painful procedure in which the doctors inserted a catheter into the artery in Washington's groin. They then injected dye into the catheter into his kidney before taking x-rays to determine if he was fit for transplant. That's the first part. A week later, an incision nearly 15 inches long was made from his navel to the middle of his back. After surgery, he was in hospital for 5 days. Today, both Stevens and Washington are fully recovered. I jog at least twice a week, Washington says. 3 times a month, they get together for what they call a gratitude lunch. And despite occasional pressure by friends, a romantic relationship has never developed. We are thankful for the beautiful friendship we have, Stephen says. We don't want to mess up a good thing. I can understand that. To this day, people wonder why Washington did it. Why in the world would you donate a kidney? You ain't got but two of them. If one of them quits working and you've given one away, you're in trouble. They questioned his sanity for him to donate a kidney to a woman not related to him whom he knew. But when one admirer asked where he found the courage to give away a kidney, his answer shut everybody up once and for all. I prayed for it, Washington said. I asked God for guidance and his plan, and that's what I got. Being a Christian and living by his plan, his reason, is hard. Being a Christian and living by his plan and his reason is hard.
How hard is it?
I'm glad you asked. I want to share something with you today that my family doesn't even know. I haven't talked to them about it. I had a party this week. I attended a party this week. You know, my wife thinks that when I go off to work, I'm actually working. And I went to a party this week. And I was the guest of honor at this party. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, that's right. It was all about Paul Leatherman. Finally, somebody gave me a party for me. And everything was about me. Yeah. I had a setback this week, a moment of weakness, a downright, straight up, all about me pity party. Oh, there was hats and speeches and pies and noisemakers and all these things because I was having a pity party this week and I was the guest of honor for myself. Why, you might ask? Because I am very frustrated with God these days. I'll let that sink in for a moment. And if you didn't hear me, or I didn't make myself clear, I am extremely frustrated with God these days. Or I was. Was. Paul, you're not allowed to do that. Oh, really? Why not? Well, because you're the pastor. So what? Am I a superhuman? Well, I mean, I am, but... And I got a cape to prove it. What am I? I am a human being, flesh and blood. I have weaknesses, shortcomings, downfalls. And this week, it wound up to a point where I went out of control by myself. Because most of my time is spent alone. When I'm in meetings, I'm quiet. And I am quiet, unless they ask me for my opinion. And then everybody pulls out their lunch and sits down for a while. I had to walk 10 feet across uneven ground because I wanted to look at something on a job we were doing. 10 feet. 10 feet from that end to a little bit further than that end of these two lecterns. 10 feet. I couldn't do it. My knees hurt so bad. And everybody else, I watch people walk now. I never used to. And I get jealous. I get mad. And I couldn't walk across this uneven ground, down a little slope, just to see what was going on. I had to go 30 feet out of my way to come in on a different way to get to it. Got back to that truck and I was wound up tight. And here's where I went. I have spent money getting stem cells shot into my knees. I have done the physical therapy thing where they lied to me a lot more than you. I went for months of it. So quit falling. Just kidding, Jill. I love you. Don't hit me with your cane. I spent money. I followed the rules. I did everything. I lost 110 pounds. I behaved myself. I followed it. I am the preacher. And yet last Sunday, I walked in here and I heard amazing stories. Trevor, no cancer. You had a good week. You got pulled back from the brink. All these great things are happening. Why do my knees still hurt? Oh, I'm so sick and tired of it. I am so done with having to sit on that dumb stool when I preach. You're hearing me now. You're hearing me about Thursday of this week. And believe you me, when I'm in that way, you don't want to be around me. Because I am not a nice person. I was angry. I am tired. I hurt. Why? I do the right things. I get up here and I preach. And I pour my heart out every Sunday. And I go and I go and I go and I go. And for those of you who know me, I work like crazy. And don't give me that scripture nonsense to keep me from becoming conceited. Because of those surpassingly great revelations that were given, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with him, with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Paul chapter 12. Paul. Now, that kind of came out neat, didn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talking. I don't want to hear that. Don't recite that noise to me. I'm tired of hurting. I am tired of having to walk up one step at a time. I am tired of it. And boy, I went off all day because I couldn't walk 10 feet. Couldn't walk 10 feet. Why are you doing this to me? Why have you not come down and touched me on my knees and made me ready to go again? I am 52 years old. I should be able to run around and carry on like I always have. Why? Why? I'm not 100. Anybody in this room ever gone that route? Say amen. Because I guarantee you we all have. You heard a touch of it from Jill back there talking about she's not a good patient. My dear, you ain't got nothing on me when I get in a mood. My family would just as soon me go somewheres far away like the shop, but I can't even walk down to the shop because my knees hurt. I got to ride the stupid lawn tractor down there. And then, being a Christian, living by His plan and His reason, is hard. And in preparation for this sermon, I hit that scripture and zeroed in on one verse. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to break this scripture down. So get back in it. If you closed your books up, shame on you. And I see people reaching for them. Oh, he's looking right at me too. I've warned you time and again. Don't mess with me. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Luke is writing this gospel for his uncle. Putting down what has happened. Luke is putting these words down. Luke is a doctor. A physician. He writes eloquently. And he writes correctly. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Stop. Full of the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here full of the Holy Spirit? I only saw one hand go up. Apparently my 12 years of ministry here are a failure. Is anybody here except Jesus Christ? So are you full of the Holy Spirit? Well, now you're catching on to it. Do I have to go back and explain to you the difference between a rhino and a Bic lighter? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, Son of God, has come down from the throne, born of Mary, lived on this mud ball, full of the Holy Spirit, after being baptized into Jordan, is led by the Holy Spirit, who should not be leading him. What do we say? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. A lot of people make a mistake when they start talking about Jesus being tempted by the devil. They say he fasted for 40 days and then was tempted by the devil. Wrong, wrong, and more wrong. For 40 days he was beat on by the devil. Everything. Anybody ever gone without one meal on purpose? There you go. Are you happy about it? No, you're not. All right, fine. You're happy with one. Two? A whole day? I've heard everybody say the same thing to me. I cannot believe I have got to fast for 12 hours to go get a blood test. I am going to die. You've all said it. 40 days. The scripture writing that we're reading today talks about the things the devil did to him for 40 days. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, following his Father's plan, his reason. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of him, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. All of them. I want to stop on that one before we go a little further. Took him onto a high place, Mount Everest, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world at that time. Showed them all to him. The devil does this. Even though Jesus Christ has the power to already see him, he has to submit to the will and reason and plan of his Father. Why? Because. What's the devil say to him? "I'll give you all their authority." Back up. I, devil, Satan, Lucifer, I will give you. I will give you all of their authority. Splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." After 40 days, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, so they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot on a stone. I've heard it told like this. You won't even be allowed to let your little old pinky toe stick out of your sandal and touch the dirt with which you will land on. That's how fast the angels will grab you. And he says, don't put your Lord God to the test. Here's the verse to key in on. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. He's coming back. He's coming again and again and again. Brothers and sisters, when we accepted Jesus Christ, we did not get a one-way ticket other than to eternal life. We did not get anything other than that. We didn't get automatically absolved from any pain. If that was the case, you wouldn't be able to sit in these bleachers on a Sunday morning. I mean, seats. Bleachers. Where in the world did that come from? Well, now I get going, I can't throttle back. You would be sitting here like this. And you all would be complaining that all these people here on Sunday morning, I can't even think to myself. Because all of them would be, I want to be a child of God. I don't want to be sick no more. I wouldn't be able to stand here. That's not what he gave us. Because his example was to follow his Father's plan and his reason, which we have to do. Now the question starts up, why is some of his plans and his reasons so painful? I do not know. Don't ask me and don't bother me with that question. Because I can't answer it. Because I know what I feel. And I know that every time I start to feel like that, I understand a moment of his reason. His reason is to drive me back to him. Because I've gotten off center somewhere. It's the truth. Peter, you'll disown me 3 times. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. I don't know him. In Genesis chapter 12, the first verse, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. We talked about this yesterday in men's Bible study. It came up and started smacking me in the head. His plan, his reason. I get lost in it sometimes, trying to understand things. I get frustrated, and I know you do as well. My whole purpose this morning was to remind you, you're not alone. And sometimes you're not going to know his plan or his reason. But it's there and it's real. And if you think he's not, when I said I'd get in trouble today, well, when Jill told about her son driving between an electric pole and a guy wire, that's what that wire is called. It comes down, guy wire. Now you're educated. And you know the difference between a rhino and a Bic Later. He's always there. Listen, I don't have sugar problems. Right, honey? What are you looking at me like that for? I don't have sugar problems. That doesn't mean I walk around the house just cramming donuts in my face because, you know, I have a weight problem. You know what my total cholesterol is? And let me explain something to you before we go any further. My favorite meat, we have this discussion all the time. Paul, if you was only allowed to have one kind of meat to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be? Pork. I love everything from the front of a hog to the back. Hog is the most magical animal in the world. You can feed that thing an apple, and it turns out bacon. I love pork, and I eat a bunch of it. My total cholesterol is 100. That's it. We went to the doctors because I got to go get this hernia tucked back in January. Actually, I think I'm supposed to take off next Sunday to go get a test for it. Right? And they pulled my blood pressure. 106 over 78.
I don't have it. Why do my knees hurt? But I'd start counting those things out. His plan, his reason. Maybe to slow me down. Maybe to make me more dependent on him. But I got all these other things going on me. My family's happy, healthy. I've got a church to preach at. I got a stool that will hold me. I can sit down. I can walk around. I can go up and down. I can move around. His plan, his reason is not for me to question, but for me to try to understand, to just follow it. There is a reason, there is a plan, and there will be a culmination of everything that he has given me. And you know what that culmination is? One day, I'm going to walk the streets of gold without any pain. Amen. Eric Feldman in 1986, maybe I've told this story, I can't remember if I did, in Moody Monthly tells this story. He says he met a Chinese couple in Hong Kong while traveling to China. A friend of mine took me down a narrow alley to a second floor flat to meet a man recently released from prison in China. I knew I would be pressed to carry Bibles and literature on my trip, but I was hesitant and tried to mask my fear with rationalizations about legalities and other concerns. That's a little bit of questioning his plan and his reason. A Chinese man in his 60s opened the door. His smile was radiant, but his back was bent almost double. He led us to a sparsely furnished room. A Chinese woman of about the same age came in to serve tea. Eric says, I couldn't help notice how she lingered. They touched, and they lovingly touched. And they looked at each other, and they giggled, and they brushed up against one another. And my staring didn't go unnoticed, for soon they were both giggling at me. What is it? I asked my friend. Oh, nothing, he said with a smile. They just wanted you to know that it was okay to stare. They're newlyweds. Newlyweds. Say amen. I learned that they had been engaged in 1949 when he was a student at Nanking Seminary. On the day of their wedding rehearsal, Chinese communists seized the seminary. They took the students to hard labor prison. For the next 30 years, the bride-to-be was only allowed one visit per year. Each time following their brief minutes together, the man would be called into the warden's office. You may go home with your bride, he said, if you will renounce Christianity. Year after year, the man replied with just one word. No. His plan, his reason, kind of makes my knees not really a big deal, because I was able to get married, whether she liked it or not. How had he been able to stand the strain for so long, being denied a family? His marriage, his health, the beatings. When I asked, he seemed astonished at my question. He replied, with all that Jesus has done for me, how could I ever betray him? The next day I requested that my suitcases be crammed full with Bibles, literature training for Chinese Christians. I determined I was not going to lie about the materials, and yet I didn't lose a minute of sleep worrying about the consequences. And as God has planned it, my suitcases were never inspected. Maybe not everybody has, but I'm fairly certain everybody in this room has seen the movie Field of Dreams, right? Say amen if you've seen it. I know you've seen it because I made you two watch it. You know the whole story. Here's the voice in the field. If you build it, he will come. Right? Ease his pain. Go the distance. Blah, 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 blah. And he comes to find out that he's building this magical field, right, for the baseball players to keep walking out of the corn. First of all, let's talk about that. If they came walking out of the corn at my house, we would have a problem. But this key point in that movie is when shoeless Joe Jackson, at the end of the last game, where Doc has to walk out of the field and everything suddenly becomes real,
And James Earl Jones is standing there watching it. Terrence Mann is his character in the movie. I've seen the movie a couple of times. He said he's walking back over and he turns to the character played by James Earl Jones. He says, "You want to come with us?" "Yeah." And Kevin Costner's character becomes angry. "I want to go in there." "You're not allowed to." And then it happens. Reno, you are the greatest addition to some of my words. That was perfect, wasn't it? Thank you. Your plan, your reason, I got it. He says to him, "I want to go in there." And they say, "Well, you can't." "Well, I want to." "Well, you can't." He said, "Look, I did everything you asked. I built this field. I went the distance. I eased his pain. And I never once asked what's in it for me." And the guy looks at him. Julius Joe Jackson's character looks at him and says, "Well, what is it, Ray?" He goes, "Well, what's in it for me?" And he said, "Ease his pain." And of course, you look over, right? And there's the catcher starting to put his gear away. And it turns out that it's the ghost of his father. What's in it for me? That's where I was this past week. I was in a dark place. I don't want any sympathy. I don't want any pats on the back. I'm not doing this so that you guys will do anything. I'm doing this because I know your pain. Because I know that you go through this. I know it. Because I cannot do this alone. This cannot be me by myself. And I know that many of you in this room have at one time or another been frustrated with God and wondered, why me? What is your plan? What is your reason? And when the devil had finished tempting him, he left until an opportune time. There's an old saying that where God puts a period, let no man put a question mark. It's hard. It's hard being a Christian. Being a Christian with his plan and his reason is hard. Paul Aiello Jr. tells the story. The captain of a ship looked out into a dark night and saw a faint light in the distance. And immediately he told a signalman to send a message, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." And promptly the return message was received, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." The captain was angered. His command had been ignored. So he sent a second message, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain." Soon another message was received, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones." Immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear that it would evoke. "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." Then the reply came, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." Paul goes on to write, "In the midst of our dark and foggy times, all sorts of voices are shouting orders into the night, telling us what to do, how to adjust our lives, how to think. Out of the darkness, one voice signals something quite opposite to do, something almost absurd. But that voice happens to be the light of the world, and we ignore it at our own peril." I'm not going to tell you that you will never be frustrated. You will never question his plan, his reason. I'm here to tell you he does it because he has something for us. I was asked in a recent survey that I filled out, which was 24 pages long. You know the three I'm looking at, right? Can I tell you it was 24 pages long? And do you know that there wasn't no true false answers on that test? I had to write essays to 28 questions. One of them that was asked was, "What is your relationship with your congregation?" I wish I could wave something and take it all away. Because if I feel this way and you do, then my job becomes stronger yet. I got it this week. His plan and His reason was to continue to live my life the way it is, with the things that happen to me the way they do, to lift up the things that I see in front of me, to tell you about them, unadulterated, unfiltered, straight up and true, that you need not worry. You are never alone when you hold Jesus Christ in your heart, close to you, now and forever. It's His plan, His reason. Just go with it. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You that You give us the pain. We thank You that You give us the things that hurt. We thank You, Father, that You see fit and clear to even pay attention to us enough to let us think about where we're at. I pray, Father, for the things that happen that are blessings. May they be strengthening. May they be tools and testimonies used to lift up and direct. And even more, I pray that the pain that we suffer in this world daily, we are reminded, is nothing to a sacrifice given by Your Son. May we read the Scripture this week and study it. And may we dwell on, and when He had finished tempting, He left until an opportune time. We know it's all around us. We know it's going to continue. We know that Your plan and Your reason is Yours. But we pray, Father, that You give our hearts the strength to follow You ever closer. That's what we need more than anything. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.